Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this Lent, we've been exploring how Scripture reveals the broad, high, deep love of our God. And tonight, we're going to focus on our Gospel reading, which told of Jesus celebrating Passover with his disciples and instituting the Lord's Supper. If you listen to that reading closely, or read it, if you were reading along with Larry, that passage from Mark makes it very clear that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him in the next few hours. His whole life, in fact, had been leading up to this moment. He knew that these days in Jerusalem would be his last, that he would be betrayed by one of his own disciples, that he would be killed and yet rise again on the third day. For over 30 years, Jesus had celebrated the Passover, the most important festival of Israel, with his family and friends. But this would be his final Passover meal with his disciples, and he would not drink a cup of wine with them again until that great feast, which is still to come, when he returns in glory. And though there was sorrow, there was also a sense of earnestness and even satisfaction. Luke's gospel records an additional statement of Jesus. As he sat with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Their master earnestly desired to sit at table with his disciples, to be with them, to be among them. Jesus earnestly desired to share this meal with them, and he earnestly desired to institute a new meal for them, that life-giving feast of his very body and blood. This first Maundy Thursday night was truly a feast of love. You know, there's something wonderful about being the host or a hostess at a great meal. Maybe that's why some people dream of opening their own restaurant. And there's something wonderful about being hosted by one who really wants to be hosting you. Have you ever been to a restaurant and had the owner come by and ask you how you're doing? It's happened to me a couple of times. You know that that man or woman really means what they're asking, truly enjoys visiting with his guests and making sure that they feel welcome, that they have everything they need. Or think about having people at the holidays in your home. Sure, you know, it can be stressful, no doubt. But there's also the anticipation and the excitement of a parent as their children come home, or the excitement and delight of a guy who has invited his girlfriend over for a special dinner, working so hard to make everything perfect and then so enjoying the company of the one he's done this for, especially if she expresses how good everything is. It makes the effort completely worthwhile. That night in Jerusalem, Jesus wasn't hosting just any meal. He and his disciples were celebrating the ancient Jewish Passover meal, which by the time of Jesus had already been celebrated among God's people for 1,500 years. Passover commemorated God's rescue of his people from slavery in Egypt. Because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, it took striking down the firstborn sons in the homes of the Egyptians, while mercifully passing over the blood-marked homes of the Israelites to convince Pharaoh to release God's people. Passover commemorates the time in history when God brought them out from Pharaoh's tyranny so that God himself might come and dwell among them. And the meal that the Lord told them to celebrate that night, he was their host, and they were his treasured guests. After coming out of Egypt, God went with them into the wilderness. In fact, he led them into the wilderness. And there he made covenant promises to be their God, to dwell in their midst, to bring them safely to the land that he had promised to Abraham and his descendants. And after they reached Mount Sinai, God instructed Moses to sacrifice an animal and to sprinkle the blood of this covenant on the people. That was how God sealed his covenant promise with them. In essence, God was saying, if I break my promise to you, may this be done to me. And we read that the people ate and drank before God. And the book of Exodus even tells us that the people saw the God of Israel, and he didn't stretch out his hand against them. God and his people were united. They experienced fellowship, God's nearness, a true feast of love. It was already clear there, 1500 years before he sent his son, that the God of Israel was a God who desired to be with his people, to be among them, to draw his people near to himself, and that he would do anything to make that happen. But that Passover meal and the blood covenant found in the book of Exodus weren't the end of the story. They pointed to another day, to an even greater fulfillment of God with his people. They pointed to an even greater meal and to an even greater blood. They pointed to that Thursday night that Jesus ate that Passover meal with his disciples. And that was what that Old Testament Passover meal and the blood covenant of Mount Sinai and God's dwelling with his Old Testament people in the tabernacle, that's what it was all about. What all those events were anticipating and pointing to. The next day, like a sacrificial lamb, Jesus would shed his blood and die. Not for his own broken promises, because he had never broken any. No, he bled and died for the sins of his people. For the sins of the people of the whole world who broke and continue to break their promises. On that night, the God who took on human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus hosted his beloved disciples. They had eaten many, many meals together, but this one was different. At this one, their master washed their feet and gave them the command to love one another as he loved them. And at that meal, Jesus gave them a new supper to be celebrated often among them. One that delivers Christ's body and blood in with and under forms of bread and wine. He established a new feast, a new and greater welcome, a new and greater sharing. In this meal, our Lord Jesus comes and he abides with his people, pardoning their sin. Jesus instituted this new and ongoing feast for his disciples and for us. It's his. It's the Lord's supper for us. Tonight and every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus is the host. A host who earnestly desires to share it with you. Because at this meal, Jesus comes to you and he says, you are forgiven. You are loved. You know, so often we talk about what this sacrament is. It's the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the forms of bread and wine. We talk about what makes a person worthy to receive this meal, that is, recognizing their sin and their need and trusting in Christ and his promises that he gives to us in the sacrament. You know, but one thing we don't talk very much about is the love that's expressed here in this meal. How much love we find here at our Lord's table. In this holy meal, Jesus allows sinners, such as you and me, to come into his presence and to receive in an unexplained mystery his very body and blood. That in itself is remarkable, but Jesus also delights in being able to assure us that our sins are forgiven. And he also delights in drawing us near to himself. While the Gospel of John doesn't speak explicitly about the Lord's Supper, you can't help but think of it as Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. As I said, throughout this season of Lent, we've been trying to grasp the dimensions of God's enormous love and mercy for us in Christ. And on this Holy Thursday, consider this. Because God is so rich in mercy, he gives to you in Jesus Christ something everyone in the world is searching for. Something that we all long for. Something that poets have written about and singers have sung about for thousands of years. True love. True love isn't just the stuff of fairy tales or sappy movies. True love is what we were created for and what we will enjoy forever with our God. True and perfect love. A genuine connectedness to another. Being known, being welcomed, belonging, being enjoyed, being cherished, being delighted over. In a word, the deepest of intimacies. All the love that we're shown by others in this life is a gift from God's hand. But the true and perfect love in this sin-warped world is found for us really only in Jesus. It's here at this table and in this meal that our Lord meets us with his love. And this isn't mere sentimentalism or romanticism. This sacrament is what you need and what you long for. And what's amazing is that God earnestly desires to be with you too. That night Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Well, that's how Mark put it. Matthew records Jesus' words this way. "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, it's really not much of a meal as meals go. Just a nibble of bread and a sip of wine. But in these small tastes, Jesus gives us his enormous love, along with forgiveness and life and salvation. And, you know, maybe it's appropriate that now, this side of heaven, we just taste and sip. Because this meal and this moment of Christ's presence and love in the Lord's Supper are just that, a taste, a foretaste of the age to come when we will see him with our eyes and dine as his most welcome guests at his table forever. Imagine that feast. I looked for a picture that I could put on the screen that could begin to express what that was like, but imagine that feast. The wine will flow, the platters will be piled high, there will be song, there will be reunion, there will be fellowship and joy and laughter. It'll be a place of true love. Imagine sinners like you and me and God so happy to have us, singing over us in divine delight and joy. Maybe on that day, we'll hear Jesus say, "Bring out the wine. Bring out the fruit of the vine. Today is the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Maybe on that day we'll hear Jesus say, "I've earnestly desired to eat this feast with you." This is the meal, the true feast, a foretaste of the love that you and I we'll share tonight with one another and with our Lord. He invites us to come and to be hosted by the one who has been betrayed and crucified and risen out of love for you. And he earnestly desires to share this supper with you. Amen.